Chapter 1. Cross. The first time I saw her, I thought her a vision. In the lantern light of the hall, her hair was as black as pitch, artfully pulled back into a bun at her nape, but with loose, soft curls that made my eyes follow the graceful curve of her neck. Her skin had a golden glow to it, as if lit from within. Her pale blue dress was modest, yet hinted at every one of her curves, and those curves were quite appealing. I was not the only one who noticed them, for men's eyes turned her way as she danced, walked past, or even smiled in their direction. It was her eyes, though, that drew me in completely, for when she turned those pale blue eyes on me, I was lost. She had that look that Reese or Simon would call Black Irish, black hair and light blue eyes. I'd never met someone with the combination before, and it was striking. In fact, I couldn't look away. The public dance in celebration of the country's independence was a well-attended affair, especially in a town the size of Helena. It wasn't often any of us from Bridgewater made it to this town. Only ranch business brought us this far afield. Our ranch kept us well occupied and fairly self-sufficient. While Ian and Kane had made the last cattle contracts, it was our job, Simon, Reese, and I, to purchase a stud horse needed to improve already superior bloodline of Bridgewater's horses. It was one of our goals to make the sturdiest, fastest, and best horses in the Montana Territory. To hell with the horses. I wanted, no, needed to know who this woman was. I couldn't leave the dance without hearing her voice or feeling her waist beneath my hand as we danced. I wanted to know her scent. "Ask her to dance," Reese said, coming up beside me. We didn't look at each other, but at the lovely woman who was right now sipping lemonade and speaking with two other women. The others were of similar age, perhaps early 20s, but neither even sparked my interest. Had I turned around and quizzed as to their appearances, I doubt I could have warranted a fair guess. It was she who held my regard. We stood on the outer fringes of the dance floor. The music, two violins, an accordion, and a piano, not so loud here as to make speaking with others difficult. Several sets of doors were open to the cooler evening air, and I saw one of her wayward curls shift in the breeze. I spared a glance at Reese. He was taller than I by an inch or two, but trimmer of build. His hair was as dark as the mysterious woman's, yet his skin was much darker from time spent outdoors and natural inclination. He might look the part of a Montana man, but he was not born nor bred in the territory, nor even in the United States. He, as well as our other friend Simon, were both from the United Kingdom, Simon from Scotland and Reese from England. In fact, the Englishman's name with a strange spelling had a simple pronunciation of Reese. Why it wasn't written as such was just another British anomaly I could never comprehend. One only had to hear the duo speak to know they were foreigners. The woman smiled. "You do not find her." I couldn't think of the right word. "Unique," Reese asked. "I find her unique." That was true. She was unique, that she had captured my attention, and it seemed his as well. Simon would think so as well if he were here instead of at his meeting, I considered. We were in Helena for the horse purchase, not a dance, but it was decided that Reese and I remained separate from the arrangement. We chosen to spend our idle evening at the town function. "Meeting? It's a bloody game of poker. Business arrangements are forged over liquor, women, and cards. He may have the liquor and cards, but we have the women," Reese stated. He was the quiet one of the three of us, a man of few words, but when he spoke, those words were well chosen, and his statement was correct. Just looking upon this dark-haired beauty had me readily agreeing. Simon the Scot was more brute strength than emotion and handled brash deals with ease. It was a good thing he was not here, for he would have knocked down everyone in his path to get her, regardless of her married state or inclination towards foreign men. This method would have worked had we not been at a town dance. This environment took finesse, and he was not known for that. She has not been with a specific man most of the evening, so I do not believe her to be claimed, I commented, placing my hands in the pockets of my pants. No man held her attention for long. Her smile, which was now given freely to the woman she was with, was offered sparingly to men, and then only in a polite fashion. While I wouldn't pick up a woman and toss her over my shoulder like a caveman claiming his woman, I had no intention of idly standing by and watching the one I wanted slip through my fingers like sand. The band ended a song to scattered applause, and I took the opportunity that presented itself. I approached her with my gaze fixed, and when she saw me coming, it was as if she were trapped in a spider's web, unable to look or move away. The ladies at either side of her were still talking, however, she lost their attention in exchange for mine. When I stopped beside her, the other ladies ceased their chatting, and all three tilted their heads to look back up at me.